The lights are on red. We're away.
Hello, welcome to Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 276 for Wednesday, June 1st, 2011. This is Jules Cisek, and with me is Gonçalo Silva over in Portugal. How you doing, Gonçalo?
Hi, Jules. Hi, all good. All good.
Jim is on his way to the Isle of Man TT. Martin is off doing some flying bits. And so Gonçalo and I are going to do this show this week. And I just got back from Miller yesterday, Miller Motorsports Park in Utah, for where I was there for the World Superbike rounds. Got some good stuff for you guys. But first, we'll do some listener email. So we got lots of, obviously, email about, you know, the continuing Simoncelli saga and stuff. So, we did want to do a mention of one email from Chris Gilbert, who was pointing out quite correctly that when Martin was talking about, you know, Simoncelli better watch out because Marc Marquez might take the seat at HRC, Chris Gilbert points out, well, that's impossible because of the rookie rule, where you have to spend 1 year as a member of a satellite team. Unless you're going to Suzuki, which might not even be there in 2012, so who knows. So that was a good point. Again, we were just speculating about the possibility, the fact that Simoncelli should kind of watch his back more than Marquez coming in, but it is worth mentioning.
Yeah, but Marquez can have an HRC bike anyway, but be on the satellite team, obviously.
Of course. I mean, that's how Simoncelli is right now, right? I mean, he's got a... And last year, did he have a factory support last year?
Well, I think the last couple of races, at least, they changed a few things to make the bike more of a HRC factory bike. But I think the bike was full HRC by the end of it. And I think it's on the paying Simoncelli since last year. It wasn't even Grazini paying for him. So it's clearly a HRC contract. So.
Right. Yep, I'm sure it was written into the contract as well. We got also lots of good feedback about the electric show that we did last week. So thank you for everybody for writing in. And, of course, also about, you know, lots of stuff about Jim's trip to the Isle of Man and about Hopper and BSB, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. So I'm going to do also a shout out to folks from Miller, the ultimate super fan Chuck Furker, who I think Wednesday last week was still not going, and then Thursday he
was
showing
Thursday
up.
Morning, I think.
Yeah.
Just to say, okay, I'm going. I'm going to book the flights and I'm going.
Yep.
Oh well,
yep.
Good for him.
Good for him. And, of course, Rome Lopez, who's also was not coming and suddenly was there. So super fans Chuck and Rome. Also, shout out to Donna Parodi. And to listeners Chris Haar, Jason Baker, Ron Licht, and sorry if I got your name wrong, and a couple of other people whose names I forget, I'm very sorry, who saw the Motopod t-shirt and came up and, you know, hey, you walked away with a couple of Motopod stickers, so thanks for coming over and saying hello. All right,
I think my Motopod stickers got lost in the mail.
You never got them?
Somewhere over the Atlantic. Yeah. Jim sent me a few ones, but I never got them. I think they're lost over the Atlantic, somewhere over the Titanic or something. I never got them.
That's a shame.
Oh, well. Yeah. But,
all right, let's get on with this show.
What to talk about first? Simoncelli again?
May as well get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, we're going to talk that Simoncelli was summoned to appear before the race direction again for the MotoGP in Catalunya. Again, about the same issue we all know, we all talked about. And I don't know exactly where they're going to talk about him. What's your idea? Why do you think they want to talk about him, about it?
I have a feeling that they're basically going to give him a warning beforehand saying, listen, you know, this is what happened last time. I know it was a little bit harsh. The reason why you got the penalty was because of previous, you know, transgressions. And, you know, the eye's going to be on you kind of thing. Or,
yeah, I don't know.
Or,
I think
or make it really exciting again. it's really good for our numbers.
I think he got the idea with a write-through. I think, well, okay, clearly they're telling me something. But I think the main thing about the fact that they still want to talk to him in Catalonia, it's going to be the interviews that he's been doing, especially after the GP, straight away after. Even though now he came with a different story and apologizing for the first time and all that. But I think that's the main thing, to show that his attitude is still a bit wrong, that he shouldn't be defending himself the way he did. But
well, that's interesting, because why would race direction have anything to do with that? That's not, race direction doesn't give a shit about that. That's Dorna.
Yeah, they shouldn't. Exactly, they shouldn't. But I think they might be afraid, because of his comments, he's still going to have the same attitude at the track. So maybe that's why they want to talk to him. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
See what it says. Is it Thursday?
Yeah.
You're going to talk?
I believe so.
Soon enough, we'll know.
Yeah, and in the same vein, GP Week's Michael Scott wrote a story about Lorenzo. Basically, I'm just going to read this verbatim. Lorenzo says, MotoGP is not a contact sport. Boxing and martial arts are contact sports in which the one who inflicts the most punishment is the winner. In MotoGP, the winner is the most intelligent, the fastest, and the one who has set his bike up better. If MotoGP is going to become a contact sport and nothing is done about dirty riders, then I will retire. This is Jorge Lorenzo.
Dramatic.
That's
how dramatic.
Bit dramatic. Yeah.
this is what we need for this season. Perez Hilton in the MotoGP paddock and the world champion saying stuff like this.
you know, if Martin was on the show, this would be an interesting conversation. I am going to say that I think that that Lorenzo is welcome to retire anytime he wants. I mean, aside from him being a fantastic rider, he doesn't really add that much to the, in my opinion, to the paddock.
Yeah.
He can go. You know, write books about his life at what 22.
He has more lives of riding motorcycles at a world level than both of us and most of the listeners have all together, so
that's fine. Yeah, I know, but
he has enough years to talk about it. But it's the market; people want to buy books about it. So,
have you read his books?
No, I have not. Yeah. I haven't read any
autobiography
yet. I'm not that excited about reading autobiographies. I prefer to watch the races. There's a lot of people wanting to buy those kind of books. So might as well make money out of it. And there's so many books about it. So many books from Lorenzo, from Rossi, from anyone.
Apparently sure. Now it's, sure. But again, I'm just taking a silly jab at him. That's not really the issue.
Well,
I mean, I just don't like this direction that MotoGP is taking this year, which is very Formula One-ish, where it's almost like, yeah, these guys need so badly to have, I don't know. I mean, do we really want to go down this path?
Formula One, even after Monaco, the racial card that Hamilton put on the table.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So it's still not at the same level, but yeah, it's getting pathetic.
Yeah.
Obviously, I get a point on what he means by this, but I don't think at the moment he has enough to.
Well, here's the thing. I think he's absolutely right about the fact that this is not a contact sport and dirty riders should be penalized. But the implication there is that Simoncelli is a dirty rider, which I do not think is fair.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. Yeah.
You know,
and
he's an aggressive rider, yes. And
shouldn't say he's going to retire if nothing's done. That's pathetic, obviously.
Right. Right. Well, it's like that's what I mean. It's this weird kind of threatening position that I just don't understand. I don't think it's necessary. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I think that Cimicelli basically is an aggressive rider and does need to be, you know, reprimanded from time to time. I do agree with that, but that doesn't make him a dirty rider. A dirty rider is somebody who is purposely trying to hurt somebody, and I really don't think... I know there's some people that think that Cimicelli is like that, but I totally do not agree.
I don't think it would do that.
No.
I don't think at all.
No.
But yeah, more... the last thing we need to talk about is the fact that Cimicelli now got health threats against him, physical threats.
Right.
From somewhere in Spain, some Spanish media showed up on the twowheelsblog.com. I'm going to quote them. According to Italian news agency Anza.it, team manager Fausto Grazini has reported that Cimicelli has received serious threats from Spanish fans following Pedrosa's injury. I think the fact that Albert Puig, the Pedrosa's manager, asking for a jail sentence after Cimicelli's incident, I don't think that helped the fact that Pedrosa fans are unhappy, obviously, with Pedrosa breaking his collarbone.
Yeah.
It's getting too much. Too obviously too much.
Doesn't it seem to you sometimes like they're... There's so much tension that needs to be unloaded. These guys have been just waiting for somebody to unload on as a scapegoat, you know, especially Puig, who's very frustrated because he's not top dog in the HRC camp anymore. And, you know, obviously, Pedrosa...
And his position is still too high in MotoGP. I don't like the guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know who does. And if someone does, please tell me why you do, because I don't understand.
Yeah. Let's listen to the sound of crickets. Okay. Yep. So, and then Cimicelli, you know, did release a statement about the accident saying, overall, in reflection, I have realized where I've gone wrong, and in the future I will try at certain times, I love that, at certain times to evaluate the situation better, and be a little more cautious. I know that I'm probably not going to get a standing ovation at Barcelona, but I hope that if I am criticized, it is done in a civilized manner and not in a way that has happened in other sports in the past. In any case, I just want to put the controversy behind me and get out there on my bike and start working towards a race that I am sure the team and I have a potential to do well in. Good statement, but I like that little certain times.
Yeah, certain time. He's basically saying, do not expect me to think in the last two laps of a race, do not expect me to be thinking too much.
Right.
I'll be doing the same thing I like to do.
Yeah.
Well, because the main problem about what he did is the fact that it didn't have to happen because he was clearly faster than Pedrosa, but we already talked about him.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Miller.
Yeah, Miller's...
Have you got rid of all the mud in your boots and all that?
No, actually, it's funny. I put my shoes in the bag. Basically, what happened was we had rain on Saturday. On Sunday.
Yeah.
The entire weekend, my days were off because the races happened on Monday. So, you know, the Friday is like a normal Thursday where it's really chill. And then, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be talking to this guy on Saturday. So that'll be after Super Bowl. And I said, oh, wait, Super Bowl is on Sunday. Anyway, on Sunday it was raining. And for one of the races, it was the AMA Super Sport race, I decided to try the infield at Miller, and boy, that was a mistake. It was like mud up to my knees in places, and those shoes are basically going to get tossed.
It seemed like a motocross venue, not a world superbike venue.
Yeah,
but tell us about the weekend. You've been there. How was it?
So this is my first time there, actually, and not only was the motorsport park very cool, but the... just the whole area is amazing because it's kind of like this flat plateau, obviously from the lake there, you know, nestled between, you know, rocky mountains. And because the temperatures actually dropped quite low, especially on Monday, the snow line went so far down that there were some times when you looked at the horizon and you felt like you were skiing. You know, you could have been skiing except for the fact that, you know, you're watching motorcycles going around. But Yeah, it's a great, really cool place. Very strange looking, you know, vistas and mountains everywhere, and cool town, good people, good turnout, very good turnout considering that the weather was forecasts were so crappy.
Yeah.
All the grandstands were full, so that was good. The staff there is fantastic. I don't know. The track will not release those numbers.
It didn't seem too big on TV. The stands look kind of small, I think.
They're pretty smallish. They definitely are pretty smallish, and most of the fans were huddled near there because there was the, you know, the chance of rain, especially in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I would probably guess maybe 20,000, like just off the top of my head.
Still pretty good.
You know, I don't know.
Like a, maybe that's a real MotoGP weekend. No, race day. At Estoril, we get about 45,000.
Yeah, that's what we get at Laguna. So I arrived on Friday afternoon, and I went to the get the credentials, and then went just strolling around and ran into Lele, Emmanuel Martinelli, who used to work with Liam Schubert at Pramac, and he's now the Leon Camier's chief at Aprilia, All Italia Aprilia. So let's go ahead and start some of these interviews. I'll play this interview with Lele from Friday, and then we'll go to jump to Saturday morning when I talk to Ruben Chaus and Johnny Ray at the same time. And it was pretty funny because this was Martin's idea. He said, you know, why don't you ask them about the Champions League final? Because originally I was going to be talking to them early in the morning. And they're both huge, obviously huge, I'm going to say it, soccer fans. Sorry.
What's soccer?
Yes. It's this game you play over there with your foot. Johnny Ray is a huge Manchester United fan, and Rubens is obviously a huge Barca fan. So, and then game time started rolling around, and I was like, oh no, I'm not going to get those guys in time. So I waited until halftime, which thankfully the game was still tied. So they were
it wasn't too
civil.
Bad.
So they were civil.
You didn't do it after the end of the game.
Exactly. So you'll hear we actually end up talking a bit about the game towards the end of the interview, and then we'll do then instead of the evening, I talked to Carlos Checa and Noriyuki Haga. So we'll play those as well.
They're gonna do everything together.
Yeah. Well, so these four we'll do in a row.
Okay.
A couple of notes. Apologies on the sound quality of the first couple, especially I had the recorder set up a little too loud, so there's a bit of a clipping distortion, unfortunately. It's totally understandable, but it's a little annoying, so I apologize. It's kind of a rookie mistake. And then with Carlos, the beginning of the recording for some reason did not come out, so it kind of jumps into the conversation. We started talking about his gremlins from last year, how he retired with mechanicals, and on Saturday morning practice, he went out on the eight bike and the bike died out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like immediately on the first lap. So, and then he came back in and then went out on the B bike and ended up crashing in the same session. So
that must have scared him.
But that's the thing we started talking about, which is kind of a shame that it's not actually in the interview, because it's just the tail end of that is what you'll hear when we get into it. He was actually really chill and kind of laughing about it. You know, I don't think he's that much of a superstitious guy. So anyway,
good for him. Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, so here we'll do these four and then we'll come back. Hey, it's Jules, and I'm here with Lele from the Aprilia All Italia Racing Team. Lele is the crew chief for Leon Camier. We were just starting to talk about something that turned into really interesting about the altitude and how it affects the quality of the motor on your bikes.
Well, actually, of course, the same for everybody. engine has less power because in
like
effect altitude,
something like that.
It's difficult, really difficult to say, because it depends on compression of the engine. So, and then you lose a certain percent, but it's different because, you know, we are in the mountain, so usually in the mountain you have less air pressure, but you have more oxygen in the air.
Right.
So it's not exactly clear how much you lose by the altitude and how much you gain because you have more oxygen in the air. But one thing for sure is the engine is more smooth, character is much more nice, even if you lose maybe, I don't know, 10 horsepower, but the rider can't complain that much because the effect, the opposite effect is, and a good effect is engine character, much more smooth, easy to ride, and easy to control, and this is very good.
So why don't you just detune the engines for every round?
because
you get it straight like this, and somebody's going to do it.
And it's like, you know, we have different, we build up different engine, kind of engine for different circuit. So here we have, let's say, special engine, which is the same as we use in Monza and here, because long straight. And then other circuit, we have a different character. We set in the engine for to have a different character. You know, it's because if you have tight circuit, maybe you prefer to have a good torque instead of a top rev.
Right.
So not just, I mean, not just about by the gearbox, but even engine character. So can be compression, ECU, whatever. I mean, many things. Not whatever, but
yeah.
You know,
you guys know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's in a different way, let's say.
And then earlier we were talking about the quality of the surface being a bit abrasive, and that last year you guys got caught out.
Yeah.
The first day.
Yeah. It's really much. How do you say?
Abrasive. It's like sandpaper.
Yeah, it's like sandpaper. And usually, as last year and 2 years ago, this surface need rubber on the track. So meaning is, more you run, and better go, you know. And then day by day, hopefully, if it's not raining and if it's not so much windy, because the dusty and whatever. But let's say last year, the first day, the same tire as
the
race.
Before?
No. You know, we run Saturday,
right?
And the same tire as Monday, the race one. The first day was live. The conception was about 8 laps, and then Sunday was 21. Same tire, and almost same condition.
Amazing.
So meaning is meaning. Need time to need the run, this surface.
Did Pirelli bring a different tire this year? No,
yeah. Luckily, yes, because last year was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, for everyone, of course. But
I think they got caught out. They didn't.
I don't know.
But this year they took it all into account. So you think that it should be okay?
Yeah, it should be okay. But you know, it's very difficult to say, you know, because we. We believe, this is the latest compound that they bring, and was working pretty good in Monza and in Misano as well. And Misano, for example, is a no grip circuit, so and was working pretty good. So hopefully, it's gonna be good even here. Even if tomorrow we're gonna have a similar problem as last year. So tire life is gonna be short. Well, short than Misano or Monza or whatever.
And then you got to do something on the bike or hope?
Well, not that much. I mean, we can do something, but not that much. You know, because if you have no grip and if it's bad for tire life, you can have more grip on the tire, like we call it mechanical grip. I don't know, suspension setting or swing arm length, swing arm angle, there are many things.
Right.
But once you have no grip on the surface and you put more grip by the bike, it's going to be destroyed tire. It's going to destroy tire. So you must keep a certain,
balance.
Yeah, certain balance. Do not press too much the tire, because there is really nothing that you can do once you have no grip on the surface. There is a little no things.
Yeah.
Nothing really, really strong. We try this year, for example, in Darlington. We had a really cold situation. The grip was really bad, and we did for race one. We tried with a very aggressive, let's call it aggressive setting. Was stressed so much the tire, and was good, but just for 18 laps, and then we destroyed the tire. Yeah. So it was gamble. We know, but was we play in a race, and let's say we have two possibilities: try it or stay there and wait. So we say first race, let's do it. Try it. Was really good. I mean, the feeling was good, but 8 laps to go.
Ouch.
Yeah, even the tire.
Yeah.
Finish. So.
Does it go very quickly when it goes?
Usually Pirelli has a very good grip for 4 or 5 laps, and then goes
it
down.
It starts to fall off slowly. Okay, got it.
Goes down quite nice way. I mean, nothing.
It's predictable.
Do not drop down too quickly. Yeah, it's predictable.
Unless you get, like the World Supersport guys got all those punctures or deflations. What was that all about? Australia, right?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah,
it's good to see you.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
We just finished with pre-practice one this morning. Carlos is way ahead, but everybody else is within about a second, right?
Well, if you consider our best lap time of AMA was 50.6, and we're like 50.8 is between the first and 50.8 is 18 riders, I guess.
Yes.
17.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how tight is the competition, and
yeah.
It's a long track, and we've got some problems, I think, both of us, and he's got more experience on the bike, but it doesn't matter. We've got some problems that are limiting our progress. I mean, with the problems sorted out, I think Jonathan could be leading easy, and myself, top 5 as well. We are trying to work out on this. It's really bumpy, the track, so it's something that affects the bike a lot.
Yeah. I was talking to the guys at Aprilia, and they say that while you lose the power, the bike gets a little more controllable. It's a little smoother. Is that true for you guys as well?
What, when they use the bar?
Just the fact that you're up here in the altitude.
Less
power, but more control, maybe?
For me, our bike's not so good on top speed.
We're
suffering.
Yeah.
Normally it's okay to control, but now it's we're struggling a little bit. But for sure, this is one of my favorite circuits, but the surface is terrible.
Is it eating at the tires?
It's the worst surface in the world, for sure, because
it's too bumpy.
It's too bumpy.
Our bumpy is dangerous.
Really?
It creates many problems on the bike. Our bike already is a bike that likes to have a lot of chatter or jumping, It's very short.
Yeah.
But Aprilia have is a big control of themselves. It doesn't matter how much power or how much altitude or what track we go. They have a control. They control the situation. And we still missed something in the last half second that we don't control. And when you don't control something, it's difficult to improve,
Yeah.
You need to really push harder where you are already good. So, you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And that's a risky situation that you are.
Where's the bumping track the worst?
Turn 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
and 7.
Oh, right up the straight too. Huh? So
very
hard braking there.
Terrible.
Yeah, but it's like
terrible.
You just have to drive on the roads outside. If they understand.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
But the problem is on the roads you're like this, and we are like this. So
yeah,
even the roads like this, you feel it with a lot of tire on the ground. Imagine like with just the edge of the tire, and
it's like great. It's one of my favorite places to come, for sure.
I remember in 2009, you had your Honda was underpowered, but you were somehow able to get it down the street because you had a really nice exit out of the last corner there.
Yeah, again, different suspension, different different swing arm, a lot of different things. So
you've been on the Honda pretty much since you came off the motocross, right?
Yeah, but the thing about it is you go to 2009 and look at the lap time or the race total time.
Yeah.
And then look on Monday the race total time, for sure the difference is more than 10 seconds. So yeah, we might be okay or stay the same. But everyone else, they make a big jump.
Right.
Technology in other manufacturers is way up.
These are serious that need to have a lot of homologation situations.
Yes.
Well, we still miss something in the homologation system just to create our bike better, you know? What we miss. I don't think Johnny and I, we're worse than everybody else. Just he can manage to go faster than myself. Play with more on a bike, but not that really far. And I think both of us, if we've got that control done, it's like top five easy, both. I mean, he's just me, Baron, and myself behind, but just both stood up. And well,
let me ask you, like if it was raining, you guys are both very loose riders. I mean, I've seen you guys ride.
I don't want to ride here raining.
Wow.
It should be like, it's floating. Many bumps, so it's going to be like a lot of
puddles. Yeah.
I know what you're saying. When it's raining, the difference is less because the rider is more important than
The truck is not the safest truck for raining. Huh?
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, it's probably going to be raining.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Well,
it's looking. I mean, you know, you've been here last year when they, you know, they were saying it was going to be thunderstorms and rain.
Because we've been here last Monday. It was completely much worse. So.
Right.
And we managed so far. So.
When you guys were testing, were you guys seeing the tire lasting? Okay. Was it lasting all right?
We only have one tire, so.
Yeah, we only used one
tire.
Really?
Yeah, one tire.
Yeah.
Not one tire, but one tire.
One type of tire.
Yeah, I understand. So you don't try the softer or anything like that? You just the hardest possible.
We haven't. I mean, the good thing from the series is that everybody has the same tire, there's no options. But on the other way, if the bike is suffering at some points, you cannot get the benefit of the tire itself, and that makes you suffer a little bit more, you know?
Last year, I heard a bunch of teams were saying that they were taken out a little bit because the first practice, they went out and they ate the tire in like 8 laps. And then everybody had to scramble to readjust the suspension to make it a little bit softer.
Problem is, because we're out in the middle of nowhere here, the track's very dirty. The dust, dirt.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Yeah.
So, yeah, the lap time this afternoon will be faster. Tomorrow will be faster again. Yeah. And the race will be faster because many bikes, many laps. But then comes like a rain or a storm, then it's back to the start again.
Yeah.
This is like the test, but this is two times a day. Dry, rain, then dry, dirty, then rain, then dry, then dirty.
That's the problem, and we only come once a year, that's what you said, and for coming just once a year, look already the lap time, which is after half an hour in the racetrack.
Right.
That's good for the level of championship. It's also increasing the level because we go everywhere we go. In 1 hour, we are close to the lap record. So that's amazing, seriously. Amazing. I mean, I can understand the Americans go here fast, but they just more often here. You know, they come.
Yeah.
They come once, twice, come a year.
Yeah. They I mean, they're running a different configuration, but they understand the surface probably a lot better than you guys coming here.
Well, they use also different tires. The manufacturer Pirelli bring the tires here, but they never test here, so they don't. I don't think that they really have a tire that works on that surface properly. So it's a good base tire that works everywhere. Medium high level, so that's enough. Okay, for a series, that's enough.
Do they take any feedback from you guys after the test that you did earlier this week?
Really?
Yeah.
No.
We were in at the lap test from Cheka, so I think it has no sense.
Okay. I just figured if as long as one bike is going fast, then they're fine.
No, but because the tire has already been tested last year, so we know about this tire. It's a serious tire from last 3 years.
Yeah, but
I guess
the bikes have gotten a little faster.
Yeah, but the tire is a standard tire. It's a tire that works everywhere. Okay.
Okay.
So it's on the bubble. Okay. It's there.
Got it.
It's there.
Got it.
When you're looking or you're spending more money on tires, more sophisticated, then you need that because you're spending like new cases or new new rubber chemicals and things to make it better. But now we have a, like a spray fix our standard tire that we use really everywhere, like seeing everywhere.
Yeah.
It's already been tested the last few years. So
this is for Ellie. You want to give them some feedback or some information? They bring a tire to a test and say, oh, fuck, this is really, really good. But you don't see this tire for 6 months. Then they might bring it, or they might not. Or sometimes you come.
This is why a little tire competition is good. Guys, the game's starting, so I'm not going to take too much of your time, but what do you think about the game?
I'm Manchester United fan, so honestly, I feel like Barcelona now has some of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
Which are Messi, and they play good as a team.
And yet,
but for me, like, Manchester United is the underdog, and I like this. And the manager, Alex Ferguson, is a legend, and so I like to see him win.
Yeah, he used to win this one because he used to make up for last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see.
It's good. It's tied.
It's really difficult.
It's a good game.
I think two best teams playing, but really friendly.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. You know, like me and Johnny, really friendly. I mean, he's good. Sure, right now he's faster than me, and I need to work out how to find out the gap. And also, these two teams are good teams, so what we said about legendary from one side, good, strong team, and good players on the other side, and that's all about. And if they win, I'll be frustrated, but not angry, because Ferguson, what he said, is legendary.
Yeah.
What I don't really like is the people that is head up and just arrogant that create on that sport really big confusion, you know?
Yeah.
So you know who you're talking about, man. So
yeah.
Hopefully they're okay, and hopefully we get the luck.
What happened to Puyol, by the way? Was Puyol suspended?
I don't know.
He didn't start.
I don't know. I have no idea.
He's on the substitution bench.
But being here,
okay.
Because they only put their game on. You cannot see the knee or anything like this.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it.
The second one, the second one, we had some engine problem. Then was engine we use already in Misano and Monza, then we expect to make much more kilometers, but we didn't expect the engine to stop at this level, but this happening, no? And then basically this afternoon everything was running well, no any problem, any...
So you were back on the A bike, though?
Yeah, I tested both bikes.
Yeah.
We changed the engine in one bike, the other one we fixed. Basically now we're quite confident in the mechanical area, no? We didn't have any problem during the year. We didn't expect to have here, no? Then we'll see, no? Just was, I want to forget that incident. And if something should happen, it's better into the free practice than...
Yes,
than
exactly. Then. Get the gremlin out.
But, you know, you never know, no? We are good pace. We have chance to do it well, but tomorrow can rain. We had technical problem. Many things can happen, no? So far, the job, I was focused to do this afternoon. I make it. We have good pace. We've been able to put the pace. Mike, we've been able to improve the bike, to test the tires. Now we have clear idea if the race is dry, where will be the setting and the tires we will use.
Cool. And a lot of the riders are complaining that the surface is bumpy here. Do you feel it?
Yeah, that's why we put suspensions on them.
I know, but so much so that it's upsetting.
I hear some riders, they complain about that, probably because the lap time is a bit slower, but also the track condition is cooler. Then we don't have the same grip, and when you don't have the same grip, you feel more the bumps because the bike is moving more, no?
Yeah.
If you have a lot of grip on that area, sure, the grip stop the more a little bit the movements and you feel a little bit less that in some areas it's some bumpy, but it's for me personally is not something that we don't find in other tracks. No, I think turn three is some area where jumping a little bit from rear,
yeah.
And then before the chicane as well is some a little bit rough. Before close to the end, but it's acceptable. I mean, it's not for me personally. It's not it's not something out of the normal situation, mm-hmm. or the normal. We have all the tracks with some bumps as well, and it's part of the racing. No, not all the tracks are completely flat, and we need to get used to that. No, we need to set up. We need to work on that conditions.
Are you guys running with extra weight on the bike this year?
No, this year no. We had last year, but. Was clear disadvantage already on speed.
Yeah.
Here we lose 3 tenths on the straight.
Right, to the Pliers especially.
Only on because we count, because also the other accelerations, maybe we lose something else. No.
Yeah.
Then we are penalized on that.
Okay.
Then we have the same weight. Then, I mean, if we are faster, it's because of our handling, our braking, our power delivery. When the bike is on angle, we are better. No, then... But this, I don't think the twin cylinders getting some advantage in that area, no? Just because it's twin, because we have the same weight, we have a lot of inertia as the others, and it's just maybe we interpret better this track, and we are able to make the difference, no? But then, in this moment, I think even if we are first, is a. Quite balanced rules.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing will be nice if we can get more speed,
yeah.
to reduce this disadvantage on the fast areas.
The sound is going to be tricky, probably.
But I don't know if this will happen. No.
Yeah.
Technically, this engine is stopped at this power, and we cannot put more power.
Mm.
I know this is almost impossible to answer, but why do you like this track so much? What is it about?
I don't know. Sometimes you are feeling comfortable and that some track. Here is a lot of grip.
Yeah.
It's banky. I like when I can keep rolling, just the bike rolling. And probably
corner speed, you mean?
Yeah, corner speed. That probably is what I'm doing here. No, in some areas are banky and I carry a lot of speed. Also, I like when it's left side.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah.
You should have been born in America.
Yeah, I should race in America, but I asked a few years ago, and at the end, it was not a strong chance to come, and I had a good chance to stay in Superbike, then I decided to stay in Superbike. But I was thinking on that, yeah. For sure, if I don't have a good opportunity in Superbike, I would like, because I spend a lot of time in America off-top racing.
Yeah.
When I'm coming here, yeah.
Where do you usually go?
Well, this year we've been in Rocky Mountains. Last year I was in Moab.
Oh, cool.
Many times I go to California.
Yeah.
I try always to travel, no? In different area, different zone. I like cycling and climbing.
Yeah.
I try to do that.
Yeah.
Last year was quite nice time, and this year as well, but we couldn't cycling because weather... was not so good and made a lot of snow in Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the end, we did some tourists with the car and some trekking by walking. And we like it, no? We visit Aspen area, a lot of...
You skiing?
I like skiing a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember seeing pictures of you on the skis when you were with the Ducati Corsa and MotoGP.
Oh, yeah. I like long distance and cross-country.
Yeah.
Normally in winter, what we do with friends.
Oh, cool.
As well, we put a sail leather under the ski. We go up,
nice.
You know, with the grip, and then go down. And I like more that, and then long distance, you know, skating.
Speed skating.
Skating with
it's cross country skiing.
Cross country,
yeah.
Then for that's... fitness is good, and also for mine, and sometimes of course I go with friends, just enjoy, you know.
Yeah, it's fun.
But yeah, probably it's the activity I get more fun, skiing. Because also is when I have more free time.
Yeah.
But to come here is too far. In Europe we have
good
places.
Yeah, you have great mountains. You go Chamonix or some place like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well.
So, you know, the consistency that you have is also another thing that's been amazing this year.
Yeah, this is my focus, no? Try to be competitive race by race.
Even Monza, which was tough for you, it ended up okay.
I'm quite satisfied because we did our job, no? We put our pace points. And our speed, we've been able to make it there, no? Then the second race also we had a technical problem, engine started broken, and from 6 I go to 10, but we've been able to finish the race. And also the other riders, especially Biagi, make mistakes, then he didn't take so much points. But, taking out the other riders or points and all that, I think feeling for me was Monza good performance and good work we make there. And if we are not faster, it's because if here you lose 3 tenths, in Monza you lose 9.
Yeah,
because we have 3 straights like this and much less turns. Then it's difficult to... And also, you know, the first area, I should say everything, must be honest. The first area, after the first chicane, that turn, I was...
Curva Grande?
I don't know if parabolic or Curva Grande, maybe.
Yeah, with parabolic is the last one. Yeah.
Second, third, fourth, five. That area, I was losing something. I was not able to...
You were slipping?
Just not enough speed.
Oh,
maybe closing gas too much in some area.
Really?
Yeah, but weird. In that area, I feel not fast enough. Then the thing is, I need to be at least 2 tenths every turn faster than the others. In that situation in Monza to be at the same speed.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. Then we lose what we expect.
Cool. All right.
Number one.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good.
Take care.
Girls. Jules Chisak, and I'm here with Yuki Haga from Pada Racing. How did it go today? You looked okay in the qualifying.
Yeah, this morning we have a little bit problem for the bike, but our mechanic solved that problem. And first qualifier was quite a good feeling with bike on bike, and I make 49 high, but looks like tomorrow raining, and but you know, I'm really, really interesting for tomorrow, even with rain tire. So because this morning bike was terrible feeling. So if we cannot find better feeling, my feeling was not, I cannot racing, you know.
You had shatter problems at the beginning of the season, right? Is all the bumpiness in this track making it worse?
Every race, for us, every time problem is the bump absorption, you know. But today, I find the best fairing as before. So I never fairing with this bike that this fairing. So I think we find a good combination, I guess.
Cool. Good.
Yeah.
A lot of riders are complaining actually about the bumpy. You know, that it doesn't let them really push to the corners. You're not feeling that way?
No, of course, because if bike was same as this morning, of course I cannot lie. But we find a good setting, and what can I say? We are now. From starting point for the setting, so from this first evening session to the end, we tried a little bit modification, but unfortunately we don't find yet more over better fairing, but we find the direction, you know.
Good.
Yeah, tomorrow.
And you were on race tires. You didn't use a qualifier yet.
No. No qualifier. I cannot use it.
Yeah. Cool. That's good. So, the you've actually ridden a bunch of Aprilias, right? Because you had the RSV 1000, right, in 2002.
Yeah.
And then the Cube, which was crazy machine.
Yeah.
And then this thing. I mean, is there any character that remained?
Well, because 2002 was three cylinder,
Yeah.
So engine character was much different compared to this bike.
Yeah.
And also MotoGP, much different engine fairing.
Well, you were the first bike that had the fly-by-wire.
Fly-by-wire, yeah. But
still ahead of its time, I think.
Yeah, but now we are also using a fly-by-wire system. No. For me, there is no problem feeling, you know. I think...
Is the feedback like you'd have with a standard throttle now?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they pretty much worked out all those kinks.
Yeah.
Because I know it used to be strange.
Yeah, yeah. First, when we starting, for example, it's 2003.
Yeah.
We don't have any experience for the private wire system.
Nobody did, really.
Yeah,
right?
Every time we are trying, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, not so easy to find good pairing. But from 2003, already passed long year, you know.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of experience that system, and now there is no problem.
Yeah.
Nothing problem.
And you, this is a very small bike compared to the Ducati, right? I mean, in terms of just like funnel size, does it fit you better than the Ducati did?
Well, that's moment, nothing much changed, but you know, of course, bike is much different compared to Ducati, this bike.
Yeah.
And also, lighting style must be changed. Otherwise, it doesn't come for lap time.
Do you still ask your guys to give you a very sharp turn in? Like, I know you used to love that on your Yamaha. Like, I think it was Tozen that tried to ride your Yamaha and was like, because you like a very sharp turning bike, very sharp turning bike, right?
Yeah,
you,
always.
You do the same thing with this?
Yeah, always.
That's why your lines are very interesting.
Yeah. That's why, you know, this bike also difficult because, you know, this bike basically think frame.
Yeah.
Hard than other manufacturer, you know. So we must find more better bump absorption than other manufacturer, you know. Then we can start modify for the turning bike. But if you don't have any good bump absorption, you have just a jumping tire. Mm-hmm. So you cannot get any better turning, you know.
Yeah.
So
where do you think the most improvement can come on this track? You can still improve where? Like, is it entering straight? Is it some of the corners?
No, basically every corner. Because
every corner?
Still I have frustration with this bike with even this evening session.
Yeah.
And because I told you, now we are start trying, you know.
Right.
Before was we are not to start trying, even not qualify, you know.
Yeah, ouch.
So, of course, if tomorrow I'm really interesting, some different setting, you know, for find more better turning and more better absorbing, but unfortunately tomorrow raining, so
at least
I find a better feeling in this evening, so
good.
I'm my feeling was a little bit relaxed.
Good. You look very chill, you look relaxed.
yeah
it was good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you very much for talking.
You're
to
welcome.
Us. All right,
thank you.
Cheers.
Okay, so that was the Lele, Ruben, Johnny, Carlos, and Noriki Haga. Thanks to all those guys for talking to us, and thanks to everybody who helped set those interviews up. Super Bowl was interesting. We had some people up front that were totally there unexpectedly, and we also had some, you know, motorcycle drama.
Yeah, you could start by saying with Liam Kammerer that crashed like what on his second lap out of the pits on the first session, and the huge eyesight. I don't remember what corner it was. I remember it was the right corner. It was a huge crash, eyesighted, and apparently kind of hurt his left wrist, something like that. But still came out and qualified for the second session, which was incredible, I think. Considering the crash that it was, he apparently got caught out with cold tires because it was raining. Should point out that
yes.
It was actually raining for Super Bowl.
That's right. And when they brought the bike in, it was an absolute mess. And of course, they rebuilt it. You know, and a few hours later, it was back. It's amazing how quickly those guys can take a piece lump of metal and put it back into a motorcycle.
Yeah, but the bike was in really bad shape and. He had to go out on his second bike. I don't know what setup he had on the second bike, but apparently it was working. So.
Yep. Yeah, actually, we did. I didn't record this part, but I also talked to Lele about the setups, and they basically keep them the same. They don't do like a...
They don't have A bike and B bike separate in terms of setup?
They try to have them exactly the same so that in case there's an incident, yeah, they can just hop on and not have to readjust themselves.
Yeah, that's
the
good.
Riders. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we had obviously Cheka ended up on pole.
Yeah, he took it by the end of, but it wasn't being dominant.
No,
I wouldn't say it wasn't being dominant at all. It was by the end of the session, he and Smart started on a huge display of fast laps and ended up being pretty close.
Yeah. And actually, I think it was his second to last lap where he finally got pole.
Yeah,
right?
Was.
Yeah. Some of the checkered flags were flying.
Good results from the Yamaha Superbike team with Melandri and Eugene getting third and fourth.
That was excellent.
Yeah, it was. Ginteli finally getting some good performance after his bad luck in the beginning of the season. Now I regret taking him out of my MCN Fantasy League team.
Yeah.
Because he was getting such bad results. I changed him to Laverty and he ends up doing better results than the Irishman.
Yeah.
Damn you, Ginters.
I think a lot of people got caught out by that. I took him out as well.
Yeah.
And the other guy who was actually not that great in Super Pole because he didn't quite make it to the final session was Sykes, but he was really fast in all the other practices. So he was looking really good. He was I think fourth in free practice on that morning. So good job him. Haga was just missed out. He was ninth. Who else was up there Badovini was amazing.
Yeah, I was going to mention Badovini. Yeah. Badovini did really well at Milan.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the races later, but eighth in qualifying in front of, the only person in front of him was Corsa with the official BMW because everyone else was behind him. And James Toseland is still recovering from that wrist injury and was 18th, didn't even make it Q1. So
yeah.
That's really unfortunate for him too. His season's going from bad to worse, and we'll see what the future holds for him.
Indeed.
We'll see.
Indeed.
Well, I got to mention that you have Josh Waters with Yoshimura Suzuki doing the wild card. Didn't do too bad.
Oh yeah,
because he qualified for
Australian.
Q1.
Yep.
Yeah, Australian champion. And he's got a couple of Australians now. Josh Waters with Atchison.
Corsair.
Corsair.
Yeah.
It's all about. Yeah, that's it. Was Vermeulen's injury again, isn't he?
Yeah. So he wasn't there. He was not there. He didn't come. There was some talk about his bike possibly getting a wild card ride, but that never happened. So it was just sitting there in the garage.
That's unfortunate.
They did bring the bike, but they didn't. They didn't get anybody to ride it.
Well, the bike's getting fast. You see with Tom Sykes, which is an excellent rider, is getting really fast with the bike.
Yes.
We all know how hard those Kawasaki's are. And apparently, this one might be the best one they had in a couple of years. So hopefully, by the end of the season, they'll be up there.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Tom has like at least one podium this season, hasn't he? I don't remember probably. I know you had...
No, he doesn't have it yet.
But he did a couple of front runs. Like he's been in the front of a few races.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
He might have crashed. I don't remember. But yeah, it was a good qualifying session, especially because it was the conditions was so rainy and so wet and so cold. Especially it was like 10 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was really qualifying.
There was one really exciting race and one not so exciting race.
Yeah, race one was really exciting.
Very,
obviously.
Very,
with
very
Cheka
exciting.
Coming from the back because he had a really bad start and then coming to the front and taking the lead.
I think Haga was a big surprise also. He jumped from ninth to second, and Corsa was up there. So Corsa was leading the race for a while, quite a while actually. And him and Haga
led for at least 7 laps, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. but it ended up in 13th. I think it was, yet again, he went with a softer tire than anyone else. And then, I don't know what's up with that BMW and the electronics, but just seems to destroy the tires. And he ended up,
well,
he tried to hold it in the top
six. You didn't get to hear the interviews, but Lele was talking about the fact that the surface at Miller is very rough. It's like sandpaper, and it rips up tires. And so they actually all got caught out last year. Anyway, I'm not going to actually be telling you this because everybody else just heard it. Anyway, yeah, but anyway, so what was I going to say? So I think that this track actually requires special setup to not lose your tires. And I think that the BMWs, I think you're right. I think that they're having trouble with, at every track, they're having the same problems, right? They do really well in the beginning, because Haslam's been having the same issues. It's very hard for him to be super competitive at the end of the race.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think interesting part is how well Vintoli did from the beginning of the race, because he was up there from the beginning.
Yes.
In top five, and then ended up in third, just behind his teammate, Smurz, and then Checker, which it makes a Ducati
1-2-3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody expected the Aprilias to be up there because of the long straight and the fact that, you know, they're both very good riders. But Biaggi didn't make it very far.
Well, because he apparently, according to Ray, and this is Quadi, pulled the Simoncelli on him.
See, this is poor Simoncelli, man. He's already getting such a bad rep that it's like moving into different bike series.
Now he even has a move called the Simoncelli.
yeah, exactly.
Which I don't know how it happens, because apparently from the footage we saw, and it was just a little bit, Biaggi seemed to be on the inside and not on the outside, so that doesn't work as being a Simoncelli. Simoncelli is from the outside in, not from the inside out. Like, and Ray was pretty upset, and apparently Biaggi now said that it was Ray's fault. So we'll see more of that in the next race.
Yeah, and I did not see it happen. It happened totally on the opposite side of the circuit.
No one saw it. We just saw a little bit of it, because the image we got was just the two of them crashing. Just
I saw an image of the bikes kind of making love to each other, you know.
And then you see Ray absolutely pissed at Biaggi.
Right.
And full of mud, obviously. They were both covered in mud.
Yeah, that's actually. If you went off, and you know, the other problem with Miller is that because it's so flat out there, the winds pick up really fast, and that mud from Sunday actually got dusty. So there was dust on the track, and I think a lot of the riders were getting caught out by that as well. Not to mention, also there was still running water at Black Rock, which is, I think, turn four, and. I was actually standing right there taking pictures.
Before the attitudes.
It's before the hairpin and then the attitudes.
That's it. Correct.
And the bikes, everybody who was going through there was head shaking like crazy, but man, they just weren't letting off. It was amazing. Oh, and I should mention that Camier went off at Black Rock. He ran wide, and that's why he also was not anywhere near the podium.
Yeah. Oh, still made it to fourth.
Which was
a pretty good result, and then proving that the Aprilia had what it takes to be up there, but unfortunately ran wide, and with Biaggi going down. Talking about going down, he also had Zaus completely smashing against Fabrizio.
Yeah.
Which was a really bad crash, and Fabrizio, if he wasn't really hurt, it was fairly hurt, because he was on the floor for a bit, and Zaus came to him. Zaus was, I don't know, way over ambitious. Even he clipped the curb on the inside, trying to make the corner,
mm-hmm.
which was not a good decision.
No, but no.
That happens, and I don't know, Zaus. Well, the entire team, the Castrol on the team, seems to be this track seems to be the nemesis. So.
Yeah, which is interesting, because the Hondas did well here before. including Johnny Ray. Johnny Ray did no. Johnny Ray actually also had a great race here 2 years ago. Last year he was hurt, so he had a rough time. But the year before, I remember he was fighting with the Aprilias despite being underpowered. He was able to get down that straight. Remember he was doing this incredible drive out of the last corner, and somehow managing to get that Honda to stay ahead of the Aprilia.
Well, the other one, when Checo was in the 10 Kate, obviously he was very fast, and well, he crashed. Yeah, but still, Miller was the test track for the team, and they were at Miller the week before.
Yes,
beginning of the week, something like that, but it still didn't work for them, apparently.
Yeah, well...
Two DNFs in the first race, and I don't remember, the second was out of top 10, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it was. 11th for Ray and 18th for Zhou. So.
Yeah, well, Charles in race 2 went off pretty early, crashed, and then just was circulating, so he was on his own. Yeah. He was way, way, way behind. Shall we go on to race 2 then? I mean, obviously, race 1, Checa, Smurts and Gattoli.
It was the most exciting race, obviously.
It was really exciting. I was bummed to see Haga, you know, not up there fighting for the podium eventually. What exactly happened? I just know he was falling down the order. Was it just people passing him, or did he have an off?
No, it's apparently just people passing him. Might have lost his momentum and start dropping positions. And the fight was pretty exciting to follow.
It's funny that I had to get all this information from somebody else. I haven't been there at the races, but anybody who goes to the races knows, you know, unless you're sitting in front of the Jumbotron, you only see a very small portion of the race. And, you know, especially because I was on the ground taking pictures, too.
It's always like that. I don't remember going to Estoril, and you're there, you watch it on the screen, but there's so much going on. And I didn't even watch the 1-2-5 races until I got home. I have no idea what was going on, because you just don't see it. You're walking around from one side to the other, going to this garage and the other garage, and then talking to this one and that one. You just end up not following the racing at all, but I wouldn't miss it for the world, so...
Yeah.
You can watch the races when you get home. That doesn't matter. But yeah, let's move to race 2 then.
Well, we should also mention that Laverty did finish okay. Milan just was struggling in the actual race. I think race distance was what caused troublesome for the Yamaha.
Yeah.
They kind of lost their pace towards the end, especially Milan.
Well, Laverty still did well.
He did well. I know. But Milan did not. And it seemed like Milan was fine the entire weekend. So I was kind of surprised to see him, 10th in the first race?
Yeah, 10th.
Okay.
Forgetting about this again. Badovini once again.
Oh yeah,
outpacing Aslam, this time being the fastest BMW on the track. It was actually a pretty good fight with Aslam for the finish, and they finished very close together.
That's
so,
right.
So I don't know. He's showing the speed that he had last year, and then people were starting to doubt when he moved to superbikes. But apparently, he's as good as he said he was last year, so we'll see how the season continues for him.
Indeed. Sorry. let's move to race 2, which was kind of a sleeper because Carlos Checa got the whole shot and never looked back.
See ya. Basically.
And it pretty much sorted itself out by lap 2, the podium.
Yeah, basically. Checa got in front and then the Aprilis followed. Then when they didn't crash, they were
although
actually
they just could not answer Checa. They just had nothing for him.
Yeah. Well, but it's just, I don't think it's, well, many people have been talking about the fact that the Ducati is actually factory Ducati, because we know it is. But and most of the team that was wearing the Xerox Ducati t-shirts last year are now wearing the Althea Racing Ducati team t-shirts. But still, it's Carlos Checa track. I don't think that it's because it's on the Ducati. It's proved that it's really fast around Miller.
Yeah, Exactly.
With whatever
exactly.
Bike
this is a track. You know, this some riders I think I just feel. You know, they had a good result or they had a good feeling about the track. It gives them extra confidence. They get better. It gives them extra confidence. It gets better. You know, it's like Melandri was like that. Remember what we used to call the randomizer a few years ago in MotoGP. There were some tracks where he just was on fire. Super, super fast. Always, you could always count on him doing well at certain tracks, and he sucked at others.
Well, his golden years was 2005 and 2006.
Yep.
And he did really good races. Remember that Turkey 2006, I think. And Phillip Island. Remember that?
Well, of course.
Can't forget that slide coming out of West Turn.
Yep.
It's incredible. Well, I guess the only fight we really saw in the top 10 was...
Sykes and Ray.
Was the... Yeah. Well, that's
well,
already out of the top
It was 4-10th.
But you still... Yeah. You still had Laverty and Fabrizio. They finished pretty close, but again, wasn't...
Well,
the...
no, actually, it was Laverty, Fabrizio, and Melandri were together for quite a bit of the race, although there wasn't any passing. It was all kind of, they were close, and then they started losing Melandri. So you're right. I mean, Sykes and Ray definitely were fighting it out British style.
Yeah. Well, they know how to do it. They did it together for many years.
Exactly.
And they just changed bikes and changed championship. Let's keep doing it.
Yep.
But yeah, it was unfortunate. Hager crashing. What was it?
Last turn. Yeah, actually, I was just arriving there to set up, to take pictures, and I saw his bike there and him walking away. So that was a bummer, very big bummer.
Yeah, you know, Aga is everyone's favorite, more or less, and it's unfortunate that he keeps getting.
Well, you know,
lucky.
I think it's one of the reasons why he is everybody's favorite. He's not afraid to give it his all, you know, and plus 1%, right?
Yeah. It's still there.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and play some more interviews. We've got Tom Sykes. This was after warm up. And then I talked to Mark Aitchison and Robbie Rolfo, also after warm up. And then we talked to Lucio Pedercini, who's their boss, Mark and Robbie's. And quite a fascinating character, also Monday morning. And then a very, very quick little chat. I was at the podium ceremony and saw Lele again, so I wanted to just get his boy, you know, beat Biaggi and was second on the podium. So very quick little chat with him, and then we'll come back.
Test. It's Jules Cisek, and I'm here with Tom Sykes of Paul Bird Kawasaki. This is Monday morning, 10 degrees Celsius, a little chilly out there. How's it going, Tom?
Yeah, to be honest, it's not going too bad. You know, I think quite a consistent weekend. We've been fairly strong in the dry, and with this bike, we've never been strong in the wet. But yesterday in qualifying, we found a lot of information, or gained a lot of information, should I say, and we closed the gap to the front runners. Okay, we ended up 10th, but overall only 1 to 1.2 seconds off the front, and for sure we can improve on that.
Yeah, and you had some great times in the previous practice, good morning, yesterday. You were 4th, I believe, right?
Exactly, 4th in the dry, and this is quite good, you know. You know, this circuit, we really found it difficult last year, and to finish 4th in the dry in the first part of qualifying is quite promising. So, just going to keep my head down and hopefully make the racing count today.
Yeah, you kind of stormed onto the racing scene. Can you tell me a little about your background? Because you, like, the first I ever heard of you was the first season of BSB, and you finished, like, 6th or something, right?
Yeah.
What were you doing before that?
Basically, started racing in 2000 when I was 14. Basically, just doing club 125, you know, national level.
Always road.
Yeah, just 125
stuff.
Circuit. Yep.
No motocross or anything like that?
In 99, I did 1 year of just trials. The year before that, 1 year of motocross. So, all in all, yeah, just worked my way up, and, you know, with the help of my grandfather, Peter Brook, you know, he's a keen motorcyclist, so we just kind of worked through the ranks, and unfortunately, it was only a couple of years before, you know, I was getting paid to do it, so very lucky, and, you know, the rest is history. We did British Super Sport, finished second in Super Sport, and moved to Superbike, yeah, and first year I finished sixth, second year finished fourth, and I think that was it really. That year I did a wild card.
Well, you did the 2010 wild card, which was like, yeah, Les Hatz, what, two firsts and a fifth?
No, it was, I think, basically we did the wild card, I finished second at Donington, and then the year after we...
Oh, sorry, I'm talking about when you went back to British.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, 2010 went back, yeah, on last year's bike, and... Yeah, and finished.
That was amazing. Just like how you just went back to your
home land, let's say. But yeah, you know,
this,
I mean,
is the larger layout of the brands, right?
Exactly. The so TV. we finished first. You know, we got the double on the Sunday.
Yeah.
So two wins. But, you know, I think that just shows that the level of world championship is at the moment unbelievable. You know, very difficult. And, you know, it's good for the riders, good for the spectators, good for the championship. So, you know, it's all around a great spectacle.
What do you think of the track here?
Here, the track is, for me, fantastic. It's a good layout, probably due a little bit of a new bit of tarmac, let's say. I think it's probably due a resurface, but overall...
What's the problem with the tarmac? Is it your tyre?
No, just quite bumpy, but for sure we go to worse places on the calendar, so...
like what? What's your most hated track on a...
Depends, really. I mean, World Championship, we're quite lucky. We go to relatively good tracks all around, but, you know, for... kind of safety point of view, you've got to look at Imola. That Imola's quite the you know, that's getting towards the cut off point, in my opinion. That's you know,
old school kind,
yeah, they,
not,
I mean,
that much runoff.
All the riders complained about Brands Hatch, you know, which was frustrating for me, because when you take Brands Hatch and Imola and compare them, actually there's no different, you know. If you look at it closely, Brands Hatch is probably even that bit safer, but
it's so narrow, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, it's at least the
you need to pass somebody once, right?
Yeah, exactly. But overall, you know, like I said, this Miller Motorsport Park is great circuit.
So go back to Imola, because you did really well there last year.
Yeah, I mean, in fact
that was probably one of my favorite races to watch, because you were just
sideways
all everywhere. It looked like you were having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was having a lot of fun. Obviously we qualified on pole position, great, you know, we led both races for quite a while, and unfortunately just missed out on the podium, but overall that was a great race for us, and give everybody a little bit of confidence in the team, so yeah. That was great. And but coming back to Miller, like I said, this is probably my most favourite place on the calendar for scenery, you know. It's a beautiful part of the world. Yeah,
it is an amazing place, huh? Did you do anything, when did you get here?
Tuesday, we stayed one night in Denver, and then came to Salt Lake on Wednesday, and just...
you did the whole mountain tour, huh?
Just kick back and relax, yeah.
Nice. All right, man, well, thank you very much for talking to us.
No problem, thank you very much.
And good luck today.
Hey, cheers.
Cheers.
Top man. Thank you.
Okay to do it here?
What's that?
Okay to do it here with the noise?
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, it's all close.
Close. No worries. Cool.
All right. This is Jules. I'm here with Mike Richardson from Pedicini Kawasaki. It's Monday morning. We're going to have a... Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just... It's nice background noise. How are you liking this track? This is your first time here, right?
I've been here before on 600.
Oh, 600. Oh, you're super sport. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. but on the bigger bikes.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Very different, right?
It's a completely different way to ride this circuit, because with a super sport bike, you need to maintain more corner speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a lot of banking. Obviously, you know, corner speed on the 600 on the super sport bike is very important. So you need to maintain that, and you know, that's the sort of style I developed over the past few years. So now it's changing that to slightly different to get the super bike, you know, in on the entry fast, stop in the middle of the corner more, and get out of there quickly. So the idea is, you know, changing my style a little bit, and that's what I'm sort of coming to, you know, learning to do at the moment. So that's the learning process is coming, but it's you know, maybe not as fast as what I'd like, but, you know, nevertheless, I'm having fun at the same time.
Have you been on this big of a bike before?
No, I've never been on a super bike before, so... So that's the first time I hopped on at Phillip Island.
And on top of that, the ZX has really gotten a lot better this year. So
yeah, well, it's quite a unique bike. I think it's taken, you know, a few years to get it to this level, and now Kawasaki are putting a lot of you know, their input this year, or the development from last year seems to be, you know, a lot more forward. So, you know, they're investing a lot more of their resources and time into the Superbike project. And I think this is going to be beneficial towards the end of the season for us, and for obviously for the official squad.
Right.
So for us, it's about just, you know, well, for me personally, it's about just trying to understand how to ride this bike, understand how to ride a superbike in general, getting on and racing in, you know, against the best guys in the world, and learning how to ride the tracks, you know, in a different way. So every time I'm coming, we haven't, you know, I'm just learning every day, and then, you know, each day we just take as it comes.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
What do you think about the temperatures? Are they going to be helping you, or is it going to be hurting you?
I don't know, because
it's pretty chilly out there.
It's right very now. Cold.
It's supposed to warm up a little bit, and, you know, there's like still an 80% chance of rain later. I don't know where it's going to come from, because it looks beautiful out there.
I don't know. I don't think it will rain at the moment, but I don't know this area.
You will definitely dry first race, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. We rode on Friday, on Saturday with our, you know, with the temperature that was a bit warmer than this.
Yeah.
This will be the first time we ride in this temperature.
Right.
So to get the tire right and to get the setting right, you know, it's going to be difficult for everyone. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll just take it as it comes.
What's been the biggest challenge at this track for you? Bike working okay? Is it more about you learning it, or is it setup?
In the first day, it was more about some small setup issues we had on the first dry day. But we seemed to get around those quite quickly, which was good. And yesterday, in the rain, we had some problems with a lack of grip from the rear. So it seems to me the tyres that were brought here from Pirelli, the wet tyres, are very, very hard.
Oh, yeah?
So they're a very, very hard compound tyre.
Interesting.
Yeah, and basically their theory was, their hoping was, I guess, that, you know, obviously being in the past
few
years here, few years here has been quite warm, I believe.
The prediction was always for crappy weather, but then it turned out okay.
Yeah, so...
I did hear the tires last year got eaten up really fast because the surface is so abrasive. So I think Pirelli may have tried to hedge their bet and brought a harder compound.
Yeah, they brought a hard compound, but I guess, you know, they didn't sort of foresee these cold snap sort of temperatures. So, you know, they're probably thinking of being the high teens if it was going to be wet.
Right.
And it was very much in you know, the 11 or 12 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So combined with a hard tire and a very low temperature, we struggled with a lot of grip on the rear. So a lot of feeling from the tire. And to actually get it to work, my tire looks brand new, and I've done about probably, you know, 25, 30 laps on it now. So it looks brand new. So,
and it wasn't even that totally wet either, so...
In the beginning it was fairly wet.
But it started to dry out.
Right at the end, I saw some riders
looking for the wet spots to just keep their tires.
Yeah, maybe in Superpole it got a little bit drier.
Yeah.
We didn't enter in Superpole at all, so
yeah.
You know, at the moment we've got a couple of issues with the bike, but it's really the first time that we rode the bike in the wet too. So
this year.
Yeah.
That's true.
we haven't ridden in the wet. So yeah, it was like everything's a learning experience every time. It's, every time we go out, we're, different variable, new weather condition, new tyre, new type of tyre. We're changing settings all the time. This bike's never been on this circuit before, and it hasn't been on any other circuit. So, step by step, we're just sort of learning every session we go, every track we go to, every race we go to. Would be very nice to have a test, but we haven't tested this year. So, it's quite difficult to compete when you don't have a test against to develop the bike and to understand, some little elements that you can't really try in the race weekend.
Right. Do you guys do some sharing of information with the Paul Bird guys?
Very little.
Very little. They test the Zixxer, I know, in Japan earlier this year.
I mean, they've done a little bit of testing, but we correlate on some information, but
It goes up to the factory and comes back down to you guys.
We're sort of running our own program so it's hard to, from their side, obviously they've got their own three riders to look after.
Yeah.
So, they've got a full program already. So I can imagine their resources are tied up there. So they're concentrating on their riders, and that's fair deal. So.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Ciao. Now we go to Ron Rolfo, who is also Ferruccini Kawasaki. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. Today,
a little chilly out there?
Today, feeling better than the day before.
Good.
Because it was a little bit complicated during practice. I don't like so much this track. That was a little bit difficult for me from Friday, from the first day. But I think we improved the setup of the bike. And this morning in the warm-up, I feel a lot better. I had more feeling in all the corners because it was a little bit difficult on the left side to have a good front feeling on the bike.
Yeah.
And nothing I hope for a good race, sure, because we are not so far for sure, also if I am back at the start.
You say you don't like the track too much. What's like a challenge here for you?
But the track is... I was here in 2008, my first year.
Mm-hmm.
And the first part of the track, I feel very flat, and I don't like so much. It's not a good...
Oh, you like elevation change?
I like more where the direction change, where the track is going up and down. The style I didn't like too much, but it's okay. I think we are everybody there. Then I improve for the warm-up, like I said before. And I am confident for the race because I can try to follow the other for sure. The bike is improving, the team is doing a very good job to help me to improve everything. And then I hope we had some good point in Monza the race before, then I hope also here.
Yeah. Do you have any feeling about whether you prefer to have a dry or a wet race?
Dry. At the moment, dry, because Friday we had it was difficult for me on the dry, but we improve a lot at the end of the session. Then I think now can be a lot better because the bike this morning feeling good. And I think dry can be the best for me for both races. Sure.
Good.
We see if it's possible.
I think it's going to be for sure the first race that we dry. We'll see. I mean, these winds can bring weather very quickly.
But the place is very nice. I like because it's
beautiful.
Strange with the mountain and everything.
So when you're on the bike, do you ever...
Time to see? Nothing.
Get a little distracted? Oh, wow, what a pretty view.
No. This is impossible because you see the corner in the front, but it's nice to come here with the car, the track. It's nice to see. I like
it. It's an interesting place, isn't it? The whole area is just...
I think there is something different from usual. Yeah.
You've been to any other places in America? You obviously raced in Laguna Seca.
Laguna Seca and MotoGP, in Indianapolis last year, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Laguna Seca track is fantastic, I like very much.
It's also a cool location. That's my home track.
It's good. No, I like very much everything. Yeah. Laguna Seca was very nice, yes.
Yeah.
And Indy, so-and-so, because the track is very bumpy.
And you don't like flat tracks, and that's the
it's very flat. Laguna is very exciting, yes.
Yeah, Laguna is cool. I mean, that's the old school kind of, GP track.
But in 2005 with the MotoGP was a good race also for me. I finished the fuel at the last lap, unfortunately, but I was 10 and was one of my best results in MotoGP then.
Yeah.
I love the track and the place was very nice. It would be nice to be back with Superbike. It would be nice.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, too.
Good luck today.
Thank you. Okay, see you soon. Ciao.
Okay. Jules Cizek here with Lucio Perottini, who's running the Perottini Kawasaki team at World Superbikes. It's Sunday, just after warm-up. But let's not talk too much about World Superbikes. I actually first wanted to talk about you. You have a very distinct kind of honor of being once called the greatest privateer in GPs. Because you were running your own team, your own bike, basically Yamaha Rock,
yes,
for 5 years straight.
Yeah.
You had some pretty good finishes. I think you finished 17th in one year.
Yeah.
And these were the years when the grids were big.
Yeah, it was good.
And then, but you started on a bike called the Patron.
Patron.
So. Tell me how you got into the GPs and tell me about this whole Yamaha Rock story.
You know, when in 1991 I was in Italian Championship and Mr. Pattoni from Patton, the end of season, asked me if I was agreed to try his bike. So we went to Vallelunga and I tried the bike. And then after my test, he say, "Do you want to make the World Championship next year?" So I was 19 years old. For me, it was a dream. And I started in 1992 with the Patton. But the Patton was not a competitive bike, so very hard season for me. And then we decided to build our team to make our team, and we buy the Rock Yamaha alone with my dad, and we start from there.
And so how many people were on the team at the time, like the first year? Did you have a crew that was sizable, or
with my team?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the team.
Friends, family.
Yeah, a lot of friends and my family. My mother, my mother followed me. In Europe.
Is she here?
No, just in Europe.
Oh, just in Europe, okay.
Because she followed the hospitality.
Ah.
The hospitality of the team. So, but, you know, the team built me, my dad, and my mother, and then also my brother. My brother is the chief mechanic of Robbie Rolfo.
Oh.
So last year was the chief mechanic.
It's a family business.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so that is our passion, and... And 500 was good for me because 1996 was very good year for me because I was the fastest private rider. So the end of season, I was 17, but I was so fast. And the end of the season, the last race was...
You had a top 10 in...
Le Castellet,
yeah,
in France.
Yeah, that's right.
But also in Easter Creek, I was very fast in the practice, and then a big crash. And some little problem, but at the end of that season, I was close with the Suzuki factory team and with Mr. Gary Taylor to test the bike and speak about the 1997. But when I was there, arrived one Japanese and say, "No, we can't test." And then after 1 month, I understood the problem was the sponsor. Lucky Strike wanted an Australian rider, not Italian rider. So that is my unlucky. And
too many Italians in the series, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad, man.
And then 1997, I stay again in 500. And then 1998, we change in Superbike with Ducati. So with the Ducati, it's not so bad because in 2003 I finished 9 in the World Championship. So with my private bike, it was not so bad.
Yeah.
So I'm happy.
And then you switched to the Italian Superbike Series for a few years too, right?
Yeah.
And you
I won
very well. 2001, 2002, you won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, also
was that 998?
Yeah. For me, also 2003, I won. Because the first race I was leader. No, I didn't want, but I didn't win.
Yeah.
But the first race I was leader with 10 seconds in front of the second rider, and I broke the engine. In the second race, I was in pole position with 1.2 seconds from the second rider, so I was so fast. but on the start one guy touched me and I crushed it. And then I won the other three races, but just five races in the Italian Championship. So I lose the championship, but in 2003, sure, I was the fast rider.
So it could have been another one.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. I could edit this section out if you don't want to talk about it, but I just wanted to ask you about your injury.
Yeah, I broke my arm, my ligament.
Yeah.
Elbow. Yeah, elbow. And the ligament... the doctor find the problem after 6 months because there was a lot of bloody into the ligament and nerves. So the doctor says you must stop for 6 months,
yeah.
And then we see whatever. And after 6 months, I try again with the bike, but I couldn't break. So
that's strange.
Yeah, because the ligament when I went to break. The ligament, if the elbow was inside, no problem, but without this ligament, when he went out,
he
released the brake.
Oh no.
So, fuck. And they find the problem and put the new ligament, take off the ligament from the knees and put there.
Yeah.
And the doctor say after 4 months you can return on the bike. So I was happy for that. But after 4 months, the scar make some problem inside, and I lose the power of my right hand. And I had another operation, and then another 7-8 months before become the power in my hand. So I stopped my career.
Shame. It happened in a crash.
Stupid crash in Valencia in the airplane in first gear when I went out.
Just a bad fall.
Yeah, but I saw it.
Oh man,
that's
bad.
Yeah.
There was some talk earlier this year about you signing Gabor Dalmasi.
No, we didn't sign. We test with him. I spoke with him, and he came in Sepang to test the bike.
Yeah.
But I think he wanted to stay in Moto2, so he tried so hard to stay in Moto2, because he rode all his career. He rode the bike 125, 250 Moto2.
Yeah.
And he preferred in his style. He preferred the bike with.
Would you ever like to have had him on your team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I spoke with him in Sepang, he told me that he preferred the bike with less power, you know. So for that reason, we didn't continue. And also, I think he has some idea to stay in Moto2, some possibility to stay there, and he wanted to stay there. So.
Makes sense. I mean, he did pretty well last year, so you know.
Yeah,
I understand.
Of course.
I can understand. He had a terrible time in MotoGP, though. So what are the goals for Team Pedicini this year? What is a big goal? Like, what are you guys gonna be doing after, you know?
You know, now our problem is we have the completely new bike, the new Kawasaki.
Yeah.
And we received the bike so late, and we didn't test before the championship.
Yeah.
So our first test was in Phillip Island the week before the race.
Yeah.
So now every race we test something, but during the race it's not easy to test because the rider want to go fast.
Right.
And it's difficult to understand if some modification is better or worse, you know, because maybe the rider find one good lap and follow some other rider. The time is good. Okay, the bike is good. It's better, but it's not true. So
yeah,
this is our problem. We need time to test. So now I'm sure the bike is good. Very compared than last year, this bike is very good, but I need the time to understand the bike, because at the moment I think we didn't find the balance of the bike, because we try to find the balance, but at the moment, my opinion, we didn't find. So we need a time for that.
Are you going to try to keep the same riders because they're part of the learning process too, so keeping them on the squad for a while might be a good idea?
You know, at the moment our job with our rider, we are happy for both riders, so I think we can continue it also for next year. We don't know. At the moment we don't know because many too early
winds
to say.
Winds change, right?
Yeah. But, you know, we gave to the our rider our 100%. So with our potential financial, with our budget, with our because I told you before, this is our passion. So and you know where when you have a passion, you do
can't stop.
Yeah, and so you give.
It's also called an obsession, you know.
So
yeah, it's also called an obsession.
Yeah. Well, but you know the problem, not the problem, but we want me and my dad, all the team. Together, we must give, everybody must give his 100%. And then, if the result is 10, 8, 12, but the most important is everybody know, give 100%.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because, you know, I prefer 10 and everybody give 100%, then finish 5 or 6 and somebody gave the 80%. No.
Yeah,
you know, I understand what I mean.
Of course. And you're fighting teams that have $20 million budgets, you know. Yeah. I mean, the Castro guys are complaining because they only have $10 million budget, you know. I mean,
yeah. You know, and not so far from us, you know, it's close to us. So, Ruben Saus, I think, is in front of us here in the practice.
He had first. He was first in this
warm
practice.
Yeah, well, yeah, warm up. Yeah. But the, from Friday, the first session, qualifying session, he's 18, I think.
No. Yeah, he had a tough time.
Yeah, and also.
But they both don't. Both him and Johnny don't like the way the bike's handling here. I shouldn't be telling that, but it doesn't matter, I guess. Everything will turn out in a few hours.
Okay,
well, thank you very much.
Thank
it was
you,
really sir. Nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Take care.
See you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I'm sure I'll see you around. Okay, Lele, it sounds like you got what you wanted, podium, second place.
Yeah, I should be satisfied, but... But not at all, because the race one, I think we had a good chance to win.
Yeah.
But we did mistake, he did mistake, and...
It's Black Rock, right?
Yeah, and so we lose the chance. So, well, I'm happy in the end, of course, because the podium, but could be better.
Well, next time, you got Misano is a good circuit for you guys, right?
Yeah, I think, well, next time we'll be in Misano in Italy, so, yeah, hopefully it's going to be... Gonna be the right one.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you so much.
Came here and I hope to see you again soon then.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So that was those were all the World Superbike guys. Now we're going to just quickly talk about the other series that ran at Miller. We don't normally do too much coverage of AMA, but I really did want to talk about the Super Sport. First of all, there were four races. I don't even know what happened in the Harley Davidson class. They sounded great though. but the all three main event races, which is the Daytona Super Superbike. Wait, what's it called? What do they call them? Daytona Super.
What?
No, the sport bike, Daytona sport bike, the super bike, and the super sport races were all incredible races. Definitely worth watching every single one of them, and especially the Daytona one. It was epic racing. You know, five guys up front fighting for the lead to the very last lap. So amazing stuff. But the one I wanted to mention was the super sport because our Motopod super fans, Nick. And Todd Grice are racers in they do AFM racing there from the Bay Area, and Todd has done AMA pro races before, but this was Nick's first pro race. They had these guys are like as privateer as you can imagine. I mean, they have like a canopy, two bikes, one of them which was not even ready to go, which is why Todd couldn't go out and race. you know, in a rental van, and a buddy of theirs to help them wrench the bikes. They do all the work themselves, everything. So
the good old privateer setup.
Exactly. As privateer as you can get. And it was Nick's first time, his first pro race. It was only his fourth time on a 600. First time in the wet. He barely qualified. He's 27th, and he ended up finishing 12th. So I think he passed like 10 people on the first lap. It was amazing. Amazing stuff. And I watched a bunch of the race from the inside of the field while my feet were sinking in the deep, deep mud. And watched it, you know. I mean, there was some attrition. It wasn't, you know, there was at least five followers in front of him, including Benny Solis, who was favored, to win the race. Anyway, I ended up talking to those guys, and so why don't we play that interview now?
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah. Wait, I'm not ready. What are we doing?
We're going to interview you really quick.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be spontaneous.
Yeah, you're doing bad stuff just now.
Yeah. Hey, it's Jules. I'm with Todd and Nick Grice, who are local boys.
Yeah,
in the Bay Area.
Local.
And
here at Miller.
Miller. And Nick just finished his first wet race in the super sport class, and
first pro race.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dude, amazing. Second. And started 27th on the grid and finished 12th. So let's talk about that. How the hell did that happen?
A lot of people crashed, mostly. I passed maybe five people off the start, and then I just made one other pass the whole race, and everyone else just crashed.
Yeah, I did watch the one pass that you made on Selena Moreto, who's also a local.
Yeah.
You know, she's San Jose, I think, right?
She's...
Oh, she's Marin, maybe?
Oh, whatever. Yeah, I think San
Marin
Francisco,
area.
Somewhere
north,
like that.
North.
She's Bay Area.
Yeah. So, there was a guy, it was like maybe halfway through the race, I think. This guy crashed in front of you. You just caught her.
Yeah.
And then you're about to pass her, and then you said you didn't even know what the rule is with the yellow flag.
Yeah,
the yellow flag came up, and just hit the brakes.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the yellow flag is. I was looking on the inside, and then all of a sudden it's waving right there, and I didn't really want to get fined or have to get up in position again. So I just kind of let her go and figured if I could get this close once, I could do it again.
We should get some background, actually. You guys basically came out here a week ago. You didn't even know you were coming, right?
Yeah,
pretty much till we left on Thursday, we didn't know we were coming.
it wasn't definitive until we closed the doors and decided to get on the road. So it was definitely like a last minute kind of deal, just getting the bikes prepped and everything. And we knew, we talked about it in the car ride, that if, you know, if anything came up with the bike that we were going to prep that I was going to ride, then we would just focus on getting him on the track confidently and not having to scramble.
Yeah.
Have another Infineon situation where neither of us got to ride because we were both working on bikes the whole time. So it kind of came together last minute, but he's a lot better than he understands that he is, because he's only been on the 600 four times. But seeing him ride on the 250s in AFM and then in practice and qualifying, it's been amazing to watch. It's been so much fun.
It's cool. So you were gonna enter except for the bike.
I was entered. Like, we were ready to go.
Wow.
And there are just still too many things that needed to be buttoned up and just little details on the bike. And yeah, it's just not really, especially a straightaway where the trap speeds are, you know, 140 plus. It's you want to have confidence in your machinery at that point.
And it's wet too. So,
yeah. The possibility of weather was a big factor also, just to make sure we had him on there and he was ready to go.
You basically pushed him out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, he was my pick crew last year at Laguna Seca for my first pro race, and I mean, he did such an amazing job that I felt like I robbed him at Infineon when he wasn't able to race, because he's been trying. So we got him out here, and he was able to actually ride like he rides, but won't say he can ride that way. And it was a lot of fun to watch, for sure.
That's great. How was the start? Because you said that you couldn't see a damn thing, right?
The start, I actually got a better... that was only the second start I've ever done on a 600. And so I kind of just felt it out and just kind of guessed. I felt like I spun the wheel a little bit at the beginning. I'm not sure if that was because of the rain or if I'm just feeling things. And then going down the straightaway, there was a lot of people like checking up or going half throttle, and I was just wide open going through the gears on the outside. So I probably passed four or five people there.
Ten.
and then everyone kind of just started slowing down. And I was just like, you can go a lot.
You must have gotten pretty far ahead, because I know there were a lot of people behind you.
Yeah,
you
a lot of people were going.
First lap, you were 17th. So you started 27th, and in one lap, you moved up
so
10
spots. So I moved up 10 spots on the start. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that must have been further to the inside where everyone was and just couldn't see, that were just checking up, because I had just moved by them on the outside. It's like, I couldn't really see that much, but I could see enough to the point where I know where my brake marker is, and I know I can still be on the gas.
Right, I just kind
of kept it open and hoped that I could see the brake marker when it came.
And then you got into the battle with Celino. You were catching up to her, I saw, over and over. And then there was also the green Kawasaki in front of you guys that also crashed, right?
Yeah, he got around both of us, and then he crashed in, I think, the Attitudes.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you know what? I think I saw that bike getting picked up, because they didn't pick it up until after the race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those bikes are real.
Who's number 30, by the way?
Hammer.
30? That guy was, like, pushing it to the very end, and then he lost on the last lap.
I don't know. Two
or three corners from the end. It sucked. Anyway, so 12th spot.
First pro race, first finish, first time in the rain.
They've got like two umbrellas, one guy helping them out.
Yeah.
You know, this is so cool.
The privateer.
This is the definition of a privateer. It's like, there's no crew, there's no nothing. It's just kind of us. We got
a van.
Get out
there and figure it out. So.
Get out there. We have a bike. We know there's a racetrack somewhere. Let's go ride on it, you know?
What do you think of the track?
It's easy, but at the same time, it's really hard. It's really easy to learn. Like, you can figure it out. You can get it in a couple laps, and you know, okay, I know where this turn goes. I know where this turn goes. I know the line. I know this. I know that. But then there's that confidence. You're coming out of some of these turns so fast, and that curbing's coming up real quick on the outside.
Yeah.
And you're still turned all the way, like, oh, I don't want to go out over the rumble strips and into the dirt. Oh, man. A lot of the apex is that, like, even still, like, if you get in a battle and race and you're coming into a turn, you don't really think, like, oh, this apex is down the next straightaway, because they're so late and just so off. It's like running everything backwards, that you'll come into one early apex and you'll run way wide and it'll mess it up. But then that's when you really got to focus and think, like, okay, I got to really focus and pick my lines a lot better now.
Did you actually? A lot of riders actually started with Ruben Chalice and Johnny Ray. They were saying that the surface is really bumpy here, and that you can get a little bit of a chatter. Probably didn't matter as much during the wet race.
I don't know. I don't really know anything about suspension.
But it's funny, because they've been asking all the other riders about it, and they're like, doesn't bother me. So it's maybe just those two guys.
When I first got out here, I keep asking everybody. When I first got out here, I was like, you know, the bike is really bouncy. It's really bouncy. Really bouncy. And in practice, the only thing I'm thinking about is bike setup. Like, how do I get this thing to work?
Yeah.
And then as soon as I got into the pits and realized I don't know what any of these knobs or clickers do, and then someone said, turn this one left. And then someone just said, oh, yeah, the track's just bumpy out there. And I said, oh, okay, I can just go out and ride around it. And then I went out and never thought about it again, and it was fine.
Cool.
The only place that I really had one was Demon, the right-hander in the Attitudes. There's a patch, and then, like, a seam right across the line, and then another patch. And you're, like, running right on that seam before you bring it to the apex at the end. And that one really messed me up. And in the rain, it ran.
Is it mental, you think? Or
no,
do you actually feel...
I feel it there. That's one where I actually feel it.
Okay.
And since all the rain's out there, the mud ran across the track, so those patches are just covered in mud.
Just so you know, when I crossed the track, I wiped my feet. Right?
No, it wasn't me. I don't think it would have hurt anything. There's mud everywhere out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, right through there was.
Is it actually entering the track then?
Huh?
The mud is entering the track?
Yeah, it's across turn one.
On the exit of turn one, it's like there's a couple.
Oh, because there's banking there.
Yeah.
There's a couple of places where it's just running across, and then I think maybe not through Scream. I think through Demon there's mud, and then what's the last? Not the one that goes into wind up. The left that goes into that.
Clubhouse corner.
I don't know what it's called, but that one's got mud around it. It's got mud, like, right at the braking marker, and mud, like, it's just got, there's scattered mud around that turn.
When in first practice, they were the first ones on the track on Saturday, I guess it was.
Yeah, and there was like people were kicking up roofs because it was all dry dust.
It looked like a motocross race or like the start of the Baja or something, because there was just a big cloud of dust behind all these people, and then the bikes would just emerge.
First, I was like, dude, someone blew an engine right now. I'm about to get oil. I don't want to do that on the first lap. And then finally, I realized it was dust, so that was fun.
Yeah.
Well, cool, guys.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's really fucking cool.
Thank you very much, Jules.
A lot of fun. Thank you.
A lot of fun. All right.
Keep up the good work on the show.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm looking forward to the Isle of Man coverage.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Very cool.
I know. I'm going to turn this off. So thanks. Ciao.
Thank you.
So that's Todd and Nick Grice. And we actually also hung out later that night. They were obviously very happy celebrating. And I'm just happy to report that a buddy of mine, Joe, and I crushed them in foosball. They were up 2-0, and then we scored 5 on unanswered goals. So, in your face, Todd and Nick.
Oh, Team Mudder Pod.
Woohoo! All right. One more thing we want to talk about is British sport bikes.
Yeah, I don't know how many of our followers have seen the races, but it was incredible racing. Brooks and this weekend, obviously the races were on Monday too, and both in the wet and the real wet, especially for race 2. Race 1 was, it started raining a little bit before the race, so they had slicks and then intermediates, and then most decided to go with rain tires. Some others with Tommy Hill, I remember, that went out with intermediate and had to come in and change to a rain tire. Should mention that Shaky Byrne actually crashed during qualifying, so he qualified in the 33rd position, I think.
Oh.
Which make for unbelievable racing on race day, because he came from 33rd to 3rd. By the end of the race.
Unbelievable.
And if it wasn't for Rutter being so good in the wet, it would probably be second. But Rutter pulled an incredible move in the last three corners, just before the chicane, and was really good. Really good racing, really wet. Everyone complained about visibility. Obviously, going, Ferguson is really, really fast. The last three corners are doing at 140 plus, something like that, and was incredible. A big shout out for Alex Lowe's, because as we talked last week, he changed teams. He went from his previous contract with Honda, and now he has Stuart Easton's Kawasaki, obviously, because Stuart Easton suffered the crash that Norwest 200.
Yeah.
And he qualified first, which was incredible. And he's been doing pretty well. He came seventh by the end of the race, but he was up there fighting for the top positions. And also, I think Peter Eichmann, which is, I think he's about 6 foot something.
Yeah, yeah, he's a tall bloke.
Something like that. He's huge. You see him on a bike, it's pretty hard to miss him.
Yeah.
And it's really... And he did very well, finishing fifth. John Hopkins, obviously, first time at Brooks, and in these really treacherous conditions, finished fourth with a really good ride. Shane Byrne, obviously, he comes from last on the grid. It was actually a good comment from him in the beginning of the race. I think it was Whitten that interviewed him and asked, "Why do you feel about starting the race in the last place in position?" And he said, "Well, if you see it properly, if you turn the grid around, I'm actually in pole position." But he was incredible. Seeing him, I think just in the first lap, he was in 19th by the end of the first lap. So that proves how well he goes in the wet and in Thruxton. And then Michael Rutter, which is known to be a really good rain
specialist
rider. Yeah, is really good. And then Michael Laverty took the win with a little bit of a gap. In the last, I think, 5 laps, he pulled a little bit of a gap over the other ones and managed to have a safe one. Obviously, BSB works with a rule that I think Martin agrees with me to say that it's brilliant.
I agree as well. I think this is one of the best rules because it burns me that World Superbikes doesn't have something like this.
Yeah, basically the rule is the grid for the second race is decided with the fastest laps in race one. So, for example, Shane Byrne would crashed in qualifying and start from the last place, managed to do the fastest lap. So he starts from pole position the second race, which I think makes absolute sense because he was so fast over the first race. Why penalize him for a minor crash he had the previous day, right?
Yeah.
All right, so race two basically was Shane Byrne's race. Starting for pole position, he basically finished 10 seconds ahead of Peter Hickman, that big guy, tall guy, finishing second in front of John Hopkins. John Hopkins did, yet again gets a really good result in DSP.
This is, for again, another track he's never been to before.
Yeah, exactly. In really bad conditions. I know you didn't watch the race.
I've seen highlights of race two, and I saw some photos, so I know that how wet it was.
Yeah, and you know the layout of the track. You basically, the last section of the racetrack is all done on your side and doing plus 100 miles an hour. And you can't see anything in front of you. So it really gets to a point where you're basically just guiding yourself with what you know, with the revs and all that, which is incredible. And John comes in against what an incredible, talented grid. And still manages to do third. So,
very cool.
Really good.
Very
in front
cool.
of Tommy Hill, that improved his result from the first race, but he finished down because of his problems with the tires. And then Dan Linfoot, Josh Brooks in sixth, Michael Everdeen seventh, Chris Walker eighth, Kirkham in ninth, and Martin Jessup, I think I'm saying it properly, in 10th. I think I should mention that Josh Brooks with a relentless Suzuki, I was expecting more of him this season, honestly.
It's a good team. It's a good team. He did really well last season.
I don't know. Is maybe adapting to the bike is being tougher than we anticipated? I was expecting him to be fighting for the win in almost every race.
Mm.
But things happen. Kiyonari was a bit of a disappointment this week, and it doesn't go well around this track, apparently. So,
which is a shame because you know we love to watch him in the rain. I mean, he's the massive sliding both wheels.
What was it, Donington 2 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, exactly that, or 2 or 3 years ago. They were during qualifying. Unbelievable. Yeah, you could find that link on YouTube, and I think I've probably watched that thing like 100 times by now.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was obviously Martin would have more to talk about, but I was able to catch the races, and DSB needs to be seen by everyone because it's unbelievable racing this year.
Yeah, tell that to Speed. I actually heard that Speed on the ground at Miller, I heard that Speed is the Speed 2 channel thing that they're doing for on the net is may start running more of these series that we're missing here in the States. So that'd be awesome because I'm totally willing to pay, you know, some subscription price if I could get quality video, especially if it was live, you know, from overseas of these other race series that we just don't get here because we have to watch, you know, people making, I don't know, some hot rod car from garbage cans. Anyway, so thanks.
Yeah, but you guys, but the problem is you don't even have AMA live most of the time.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like if there was a internet based thing, that we could subscribe to that would give us the stuff live. I'm there, just, you know, I'm opening my wallet, just, you know.
I don't know. I think what it can do, I think you have the same thing, and this goes for everyone that is listening. I think Eurosport, they have the internet service. Basically, it's an internet package where I think you can catch the races online. But I'm not entirely sure. Maybe people should
Eurosport. We get blacklisted. It's all blacked out here, though. It's the same thing.
Who is it?
It's the same thing with Superbike TV, the online TV thing that they have.
I don't think it's even active now. Because
it's not anymore, but it was for a few years. And, you know, you try to get it from any IP in North America, it just would not work.
Really? Even paying for it?
Yeah. In fact, I actually did pay for it, and only afterwards did I find out that I could, like, race day comes along, and it's like, you know, because qualifying, they showed it, and whatever, race day comes along, and it's like, this broadcast is not available in North America. I was like, what? You got to be kidding me.
Okay, people, neglect what I said.
Yeah, you can't do it. You can't do it. We're basically screwed here by the cable companies. They still find ways to, even with the internet giving us all these, you know, information is free, except, you know, except here.
If you pay for it, it's free. If you pay for it.
Well, no, but there's no option. If I wanted to pay for it, I can't watch the BSB.
That's even worse.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, man. Anyway, we've gone over this kind of stuff like for years because Bob Hayes, I think, started, like, I mean, he's been ranting on Speed TV. I think his status on Skype is still set to something about how much he hates Speed TV. So
I'll leave you guys to it.
Yeah,
I have no problem around on this side of the pond.
Yeah, thanks.
I will have when I go to Australia, but.
Well, they still have that star stuff over there, right? What is it?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what they have. I know that a 1HD has been having the MotoGP races, but I'm not entirely sure. I think it's like with half an hour delay, something like that.
Mm.
We'll see.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's somebody out there listening in Australia who can tell us exactly what we can see.
Yeah, exactly.
Legally, please, legally, send us information on legal stuff. Thank you.
No illegals.
Exactly. All right, before we go, I do want to make sure that we mention Pole Position is going to be having they dedicated their suites this year to Peter Lenz, who is the young racer who lost his life at Indianapolis last year. And what they're doing is they're going to be auctioning two spots in the suite, which is, like, I think, worth about $600 each. This is an entire weekend where you get wine and dined, and, you know, you get to meet riders and stuff like that. They're dedicating.
What race is that for?
This is going to be at Laguna Seca.
Okay.
This year, so. And the funds that they raise through the auction are going to go to the Peter Lenz Field, which is a field that's being built
at his school.
At his school, sorry, yeah, out in Oregon, and sorry, Washington State, and the information is available at the link in the show notes. So go ahead and check that out. That's pretty much it.
Really cool. I really hope that they can get plenty of money for this cause.
Oh, and the thing is, you can donate to the organization directly. You don't have to go and buy tickets to the Laguna Seca Suite. You know, but it's very nice of Gordon Howell of Pole Position to actually offer these things, and the proceeds all fully 100% going to the Peter Lenz Fund. But that doesn't mean you have to go through him. You can go directly to. Actually, I'll have a link to the. To the Peter Lenz
just
site.
Just copy there so people can see.
Exactly. That's all I have.
Okay, my friend.
Thank you very much, Gonzalo. It's really nice talking to you.
No problem, Jules. Nice talking to you, doing the show.
And take care, dude.
Well, take care, and big shout out to Jim. Hopefully, I'll be catching the plane tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which will be already a few hours ago when the show comes out, something like that, but hopefully everything goes well with him, and the Isle of Man will have some exciting shows coming in.
Oh, I can't wait! Thanks, man. All right.
Hey, Jules, sleep well. I've tried to sleep. It was like 6 a.m. something like that.
It's 5 a.m. and I'm about to actually go running. So,
okay, go for it then.
Ciao.
Cheers. What an unbelievable result for Peter Ekman with his voluptuous figure to finish second, and then John Hopkins getting
Did
another.
Did you just call it voluptuous?
Actually, I didn't mean to. Let's do this one again.